Oh, isn't that something? That was a WEMU premiere. I just took the shrink wrap off of this, threw it in the player, trusted my guest, Chris Collins. It was going to be good, and it is. And we have good news. Chris Collins made his way to WEMU from Detroit to join me this morning on 89.1 WEMU. Good morning again.
Good morning, Linda. And you know the honor is mine because this station has been part of my life since I started listening to the radio as a kid. And you have
been... You're too kind.
Well, you have been one of those guiding forces in this music. And people often ask me when we speak about women in jazz, they say, well, who are your favorites, you know, in history? And I always say, well, Linda Young is one of them, because she's one of the more important women in jazz who've helped propagate this art. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. No, thank you for just busting everything to put together an incredible lineup for the Detroit Jazz Festival.
If I nod off during the interview, please forgive me.
Oh, I know. You just got back from Hollywood.
Yeah.
Are you jet-lagged?
Not too much, you know. You're talking to someone who's done a one nighter in Tokyo before, so and back for Christmas Day. So I think any musician will tell you, you develop those chops like everything else.
Okay, so you were in Hollywood to give Kenny Burrell an award.
That's right, a very special award, as you know. The once a year, the Jazz Festival. Board of Trustees and with support of the Board of Directors offers one Jazz Guardian Award. And it's an award that represents the celebration of an individual with Michigan ties who, through performance or philanthropy or mentoring, adds and propagates the music of jazz. And, of course, Kenny Burrell is such a natural choice, an incredible piece of the legacy, but also a great teacher and someone who has supported this music for a long time. So he's our 2015 Robert E. McCabe Jazz Guardian Award winner. And while he couldn't join us in Detroit, he was very gracious, and we had a wonderful time over in his office at UCLA and got a couple great pictures and little film footage, and we're going to do a little celebration of him at the festival.
Wonderful. So that is a wonderful, easy segue into guitars and the festival.
Yeah.
Run with it, Chris.
Well, I'll tell you, whenever you start to talk about themes at a festival, you know, it can be challenging because you want it to be organic. You don't want it just to be a novelty, you know. But for years, you probably as much as anybody knows we've been talking to Pat Metheny. When he came in 2012, which was my first year, he sat backstage more than I've seen many artists and just dug what was going on. It was his first time at the Detroit Jazz Festival, if you can believe that. And he walked up to me in the middle of the Wayne Shorter concert. He leaned over and he said, "Man, whatever I can do for you, whatever I can do for this festival, let me know. I love it here." And so we began discussions. And with someone like him, it takes years to get schedules and things organized. But when it finally came together, we have Pat Metheny as our artist in residence, which set a whole series of thoughts in my mind. First of all, as you know, I'm big on, when it comes to education and mentoring, the Detroit way is not just to talk to people, but it's to create opportunities for people. So in addition to what we do for young students, for university students, for upcoming artists, our professionals in town, I look to these moments where someone like Pat Metheny is going to be so present in our community to involve all those wonderful people. So we end up with some great guitarists from our town, like Steve Carrier and his entire Detroit guitar ensemble, which is five guitars and rhythm section. The great Spencer Bearfield, on a little different genre, is leading our homecoming band this year with David McMurray and James Carter and David Young, and it's going to be a great band. And then we have some interesting moments that I'm really looking forward to. One was in talking to Stanley Jordan, and you know, all of us remember Stanley when he first hit the scene with this tap solo style that was just incredibly special. Mm-hmm. And we were talking to Stanley. I called him up. I said, "I really want you at the festival in a special way." He's one of the great Mack Avenue artists, but I'd like you to do something that you want to do. And we were talking about trios, quartets. And I said, "Look, as I say to a lot of artists, what is it that's in your heart right now? I mean, what is it that you really love? What is it that we can do for you to let you be who you want to be? And he said, man, I'm really into my solo thing right now. Now, putting a solo act on a big stage like Jazz Fest is tough, but we have this great pyramid venue, right, the pyramid stage. So here we have Stanley doing his solo guitar thing, very special, very intimate, on the pyramid stage, and it's going to be one of those moments, I think, where the one spectrum, one end of the spectrum of jazz and texture is going to be represented in a very intimate way, and I think mm-hmm. it's going to be worth catching. And then you go back to Pat Metheny. Now, here's an artist, great guitarist, done so many different styles. He asked me, please, I want to play every day at the festival. And I mean, he put it that way, right?
Great.
So Friday, opening night, he's got his trio with Antonio Sanchez and Scott Colley and our Detroit brother, Kenny Garrett's going to be with him. Very special moment. Then the next day, on Saturday, he's doing a reunion of the quartet with Gary Burton, a very special time in that music. The next day, on Sunday, I can't wait to hear this, again on the Pyramid stage, he'll be playing a duet, acoustic duet, with Detroit's Ron Carter, part of our homecoming series. You can imagine just the two of them playing tunes together. And finally, the last night, he's doing a big set which features string orchestra with new arrangements of his classics realized in orchestra conducted by the great Alan Broadbent, followed by a performance with Detroit Jazz Fest Orchestra, multiple soloists, a film elements, and premiering, the North American premiere, of his new piece, Homage, which is a piece dedicated and created around the music of Eberhard Weber. And Eberhard will be with us in spirit and through technology, and Pat created this incredible video looped stuff using solo Eberhard stuff, then composed this incredible extended piece for woodwinds and brass and big band and multiple soloists. And it'll all come together as the finale, this premiere of this new work by Pat Metheny that embodies his spirit and his vocabulary, but in a context that none of us have ever heard or seen before. So his presence will not only be every day, he'll be on every stage, and he will go through his classics, through new music, through jazz standards, and then to something that is completely new to all of us and new to the genre, quite frankly.
Wow. My guest this morning is Chris Collins. He is the artistic director of the 2015 Detroit Jazz Festival, and we've just been really waxing beautifully about Pat Metheny. Why don't we hear just a touch of Gary Burton, mm-hmm. Pat Metheny, Steve Swallow, and Antonio Sanchez? Why don't we hear just a little touch of them, okay?
I love it.
Okay. A little touch of them on one of the beloved songs. Here is Sea Journey. On 89.1 WEMU. Gary Burton sort of soloing. Of course, Pat Metheny comping in the background. And they will be trading their fours and what have yous at the 2015 Detroit Jazz Festival. When I say trading fours, that means going back and forth. I don't want to be too jazz-heavy lingo.
It's kind of what we're doing right now.
Kind of what we're doing, yeah. So I'm trading fours with Chris Collins, the artistic director of the Detroit Jazz Festival this morning on 89.1 WEMU. It's not the first time you've worked with Gary Burton.
No, Gary's been quite an important part of the Jazz Festival over the years. He loves the city, and he's just such an inspiration, not only as an artist, but as a mentor. And in fact, Gary Burton is one of the special artists with the Mack Avenue Superband this year.
Oh, he is?
Yes, he is. So he'll be playing with them. And along, in addition to him in that band, there's Christian McBride is taking the lead chair with Tia Fuller is in the band, Gary Burton. Kirk Whalum will be joining them this year, and I believe Carl Allen is playing, and so it's a little different than it's been in the past, something new, something fresh.
Okay, yeah. Well, I heard the Kirk Whalum piece on the 2014 Mack Avenue Super Band recording, that bipolar blues, incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And in the liner notes to the Mack Avenue Super Band recording, it said, you know, you think of Kirk Whalum in these smooth jazz chops, but he's got jazz chops all over the place.
Oh, yeah. He's a wonderful musician. And, you know, Pat and I actually talked about this when Pat Metheny was in for one of his visits to Detroit, is the idea that, you know, the definition of jazz, and maybe the you know, we know it's semantics. You know, the label itself of anything in this world has been so, I'm going to hesitate to use the correct word, I'll say generalized, mm-hmm. By media and by for, you know, marketing purposes. And really, it's about great music. Now, of course, it's the Detroit Jazz Festival, and as you understand, I'm sure most of your listeners do, there's a legacy and there's a history. There's a language that one has to learn to speak. But then the other step is then to turn that into your own and to create something personal out of that. And many jazz artists are looking to make sure that the world understands their music is not quantified by a title, jazz or mm-hmm. pop, or but rather an expression of who they are. What makes it jazz is, does it have the stability and the foundation of the jazz language and the jazz legacy, and are the elements of interaction, communication, improvisation part of that equation? And if that is there, if that personal voice, if that exploration and communicativeness is there, those are the kind of artists that I'm always seeking, because we're looking to explore what jazz really is, not what the label means.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you are doing an incredible job of exploring that. Talk about some of the more explorational aspects in the festival this year.
Indeed. Well, when one thinks about jazz, I mean, the first thing I'll always say is, I tell people, you know, in the Detroit Jazz Festival, there are no ticket sales. It is free, as we know, and it is not because the musicians work for free. We take care of our artists as good as any other festival. We're proud of that. It is about supporting the art. But it's about we're not selling tickets, so what are we selling? We're selling this great programming, something unique that you couldn't pay to see anywhere. And a big part of that for me is always looking to see how we can exploit the many, many textures of jazz. So examples of that would be the very first night, opening night. You mentioned Benny's Threads. Now, do I have a minute to tell the quick story?
Sure. Yeah. Chris Collins, my guest from the Detroit Jazz Festival.
So the great author, Douglas Preston, New York Times bestselling author, The Relic and The Codex and The Kraken. You know, this guy's all over the place, thriller writer. At a party, he mentions that his grandmother, who he stayed with in New York when he was young, lived next door to Benny Goodman, up in the loft when Benny was married to a Vanderbilt, I believe. And one day, she saw the maid pushing a box out of the apartment and said, "Oh, is Mr. Goodman moving out?" No. These are his concert suits. He's getting rid of them and getting a new. She said, "Well, could you ask him if I could have the suits?" And this smart woman kept these suits from Carnegie Hall and from his small group hits and from various films, and passed them on to Douglas Preston, who was talking to Eddie Daniels. And then they called me and we had a discussion on it. We thought, wouldn't it be cool? This is how these things start. What if we commissioned a new piece for each suit? That's where we started. Originally, we called it Benny's Suit Suite.
Oh, gosh. I'm glad you called it Benny's Threads.
There we go.
Yeah.
And we turned it around. So I decided to commission Gordon Goodwin, who's never been here at the festival, and his Big Fat Band. So he composed all new works. They're not Benny Goodman tribute pieces. They're based on some tunes you might recognize after mm-hmm. you've gone Moon Glow, but contemporary versions in different ways. So we started with that. Then we brought in the best clarinet players. I always hate to use the term best, but the ones that are real resonant in today's society. And, of course, the great Eddie Daniels, who's absolutely reinvented the instrument, Ken Poplawski. And by the way, Ken and Eddie, on Benny's deathbed, he was asked, "Who will carry on your torch?" And his answer was Eddie Daniels and Ken Poplawski.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course, great Anat Cohen, who you were playing when we got started, and Paquito de Rivera. What a great lineup of soloists. We mix that with a small group element that's going to be tucked in there a couple of times in tribute to the Teddy days and the Charlie Christian days. And so we've got Barry Harris covering that chair as a little surprise guest, along with Gaylin McKinney and Jeff Pedras from Detroit. And so the show is this combinant of these soloists, this great Gordon Goodwin Big Fat Band that just won the Grammy for Best Jazz Instrumental, but we've all known how great he is for years. They've never been here. Gordon's new arrangements, some multimedia elements, and the actual suits of Benny Goodman there to remind us that Benny, he's much, much more than just an American iconic figure. You know, he appealed to youth, so mm-hmm. he was the Elvis of his day. You know, he was an American icon. But his commitment to excellence and his never ceasing practicing and exploring within his vocabulary, to be sure. We want to send a strong message about how that continues to resonate with artists. He was much more than a swing dance band leader. He was a moving force in this music. The small group stuff with Teddy and Lionel and Charlie Christian, these are things that change jazz.
Exactly. I mean, if you start to listen to jazz, remember listening to the Smithsonian collection of classic jazz? And those Benny Goodman sessions are there. They're very, very important. And, you know, but they're timeless. One thing, it's Linda Young talking with Chris Collins, artistic director of the Detroit Jazz Festival. And I think you and I agree that if something is a thing of beauty once, it is a thing of beauty forever.
Indeed. What a beautiful way to put it. And that is the jazz family, right? I mean, you know, that feeling permeates. It's why we talk about jazz as a lifestyle as much as a musical form. Musicians will tell you it's how we communicate. I've had musicians, Chick Corea, when I first met him, he didn't know I was a saxophone player, and we were talking, and partway through, I said, you know, I was interviewing him for a thing. I said, you know, I'm a saxophone player. He said, you didn't have to tell me that, because I could tell by the way we were talking you were a musician. And that permeates jazz radio, it permeates the venues, it permeates the musicians, the composers,